I think modesty to me means being graceful and elegant without seeking attention. This is what I try to reflect. I have my perspective on modesty and on femininity, and I try to reflect that through my designs for my brand. The goal is to dress a lady on all moments of her day. So whether it will be someone who goes for groceries or someone who takes her kids out of school, someone who travels, it really should cover a lady's life in different stages of her life.
Hello, everyone. So today I am with Sunaina. Hello, Sunaina.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Good. And really, thank you very much for accepting my invitation. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Thank you so much. The pleasure is mine. I'm really excited about this interview.
So could you please, first of all, introduce yourself in like two sentences?
So my name is Sunaina Kuldipsingh, and I'm the CEO of Boutallion, a high-end fashion brand. And I also am the CEO of Atelier Boutallion, which is my production facility in Italy.
Oh, that's good, because I didn't know you also have this production facility in Italy. But we'll be able to talk about this later. And the first question is related to the main subject of the podcast, which is modesty. So what would be your definition of modesty in fashion?
I think modesty to me means being graceful and elegant without seeking attention.
That's beautiful. And I think it's almost, well, it is what your brand does.
Sorry?
It is what your brand does. Your brand exerts like gracefulness and elegance.
Yes, this is what I try to reflect. I have my perspective on modesty and on femininity, and I try to reflect that through my designs for my brand.
And if we talk about your educational background, what did you study?
So I studied law and tax law. And I always enjoyed that a lot, but I chose another direction because I chose to follow my passion.
So you studied law and then you started working in the law industry, then you switched to fashion.
Actually, I never started working in the field because I was aware from the moment of graduation that I wanted to do something else. The reason why was because all of my friends around me, they were starting their own business, they were following their dreams, and I felt a little bit stuck in the environment of studying and being stuck in an office. I wanted to explore the world, I wanted to see more of life, so I chose another direction in a very early stage.
So after you graduated from the law school, you studied fashion or just launched your fashion brand?
Actually, I just launched my fashion brand. It was very interesting period to me. But I think, it all started with Google. I had a dream to establish my own fashion brand. I didn't know where to start. But thanks to Google, I found my way in, so to say.
And, you know, like, let's talk more about the first days of Boutallion. First of all, how did you come up with the name?
So the name is in a combination of initials from the people who are most dear to me. And I just shuffled the letters around, and then the name Boutallion arose. So that's the name. And the early days of fashion, yeah, they were quite hard.
Yes, I guess, because you didn't study fashion at all. So how did you do for your, like, the day one when you decided, when you were like, okay, so now I want to launch my fashion brand? What did you do the first days with Google? What kind of information you search for? Who did you contact?
So I think I had a good base in understanding what kind of fashion I loved, because I was always a fashion lover. So I knew about the latest trends, and I always knew how to present myself in a nice way. But starting in fashion, of course, was a complete different journey because there were lots of challenges there. How I started? I started Googling other brands. Actually, it started with my own personal wardrobe. I couldn't find anything that I could wear daily. So, for example, I had some formal dinners to attend with my family. And then I also had, I was still in school. So I was always looking for an outfit that I could just wear easy or can change easily. So it started all with jackets. I was a big fan of Balmain jackets, and I used to mix and match them all the time. But at a certain point, I had so many colors, and I was just trying to find out more, but I couldn't find anything that really suited my life and my personality. So that's basically how I started Googling around if there were like other brands. But I couldn't really find something. So the idea came up in my mind to just try to create something that suited me, that resonates with my life and with my personal identity.
And the first design you created was a jacket?
The first idea that I had was a jacket, indeed.
And did you create the jacket alone or did you partner with someone?
No, it was really me. I had a clear idea of what kind of jacket I would want to wear. And I never actually introduced that kind of jacket. So in the new collection, finally, things are coming all together. And oh. I'm reintroducing a line of jackets, basically. Not only jackets, but jackets that go with pants or suit.
And I forgot to ask you, but when did you launch your brand?
In 2016.
Oh, so it's a really baby brand. You're almost 4 years old.
Yes, it is. It is.
And so if you tell us like more about the first year of your brand, so you searched for information, you had a clear idea of what you wanted for your brand and the direction you wanted to go to. So how did you find like your first clients?
So my first clients were mostly private clients because I tried to connect a lot with people through Instagram. And basically before I even started with designing, I was already in this group of Instagram girls. Instagram was not so developed as it is now. So there were just a few girls posting their bags and their shoes and their fashion accessories. And I became friends with them, Instagram friends. So we spoke a lot about what the market needed and what kind of things they liked. And basically, I adapted to their wishes. And I just tried to stay close to my own, to my own style.
So you grew your brand through Instagram, so everything was online.
Everything in the beginning was online, and also, you have your personal friends, your contacts. So I started very small, and for a long time, up to last year, I never had the idea to grow the brand. I always wanted to serve just the people around me and people who were just looking for something new and something different. But at a certain point, my dreams got bigger. So I tried to establish a ready-to-wear line.
I have a question. Yes, how did your dream got bigger? Why did you want more for your brand?
I think as we evolve, our universe starts to expand. So, you come in contact with different people. They teach you about their lives, about their experiences. Also in the industry, you get to know more suppliers. You get to know bigger factories that can produce for you. So I think it really grew naturally.
So when you wanted to expand your brand, how did you do it? How did you?
Actually, that's something that I'm going to reveal soon. It's something that is around the corner and I might reveal it this month. So I cannot talk too much about it, even though I don't like to say these things in interviews because I always think that you should be open, which I am. But I really want to keep some mystery around the brand.
But if we talk about like past events, because I know that I discovered your brand when you did a fashion show in Dubai. Was it the first time you attended a fashion show?
Yes, it was my first fashion show in Dubai.
And so how was it? How did the people like your collection?
So it was really above my expectations. And as I said, once you are along the way, you get in touch with different people. And I think that the fashion show was one of the first moments that I wanted to grow more. I wanted to have more. So after the fashion show, for example, when I started with the fashion show, I hoped that one day I would be mentioned in Vogue, and that I took 3 years for it. So I thought that if I would work hard, people might see my work after 3 years and that it would be acknowledged. But what happened after the fashion show is after 3 days, there was a small article in Vogue Italy where they mentioned my brand as a very potential brand, which was above my expectations. And I truly felt blessed for the person who believed in me to write a piece about me.
This was a great achievement.
Yes, it was definitely.
And I think after you did also the London Fashion Week, I think.
Yes, after that, we did a small event during the London Fashion Week because I tried to get myself on the calendar of the London Fashion Week. But, you know, that's the issue. When you're starting, you really have to prove yourself first. So I wasn't allowed to attend the real main calendar, but, you know, I'm positive, so I need to work harder. I need to evolve more, and hopefully we can do something on the official calendar. But the event was also great received there. People were very positive. They really saw that I tried to bring something new, and that was itself a big compliment for me.
And I know that you define yourself or your brand as the architect of imagination.
Yes, that's true.
Could you explain more this idea?
The architect of imagination. The architect of imagination stands for me. It represents my inner world. And I believe that imagination is something very important for every single person. I believe it's the start of everything that you can create and that it can move you away from your current reality. So if you can imagine your future, if you can imagine your collection, it already happened then. So it will be easier for you to follow the steps.
So each design is like the product of your imagination in some way.
Yes, definitely. All my work, everything I write, everything I say, and everything I reflect through my garments has started with my imagination.
That's beautiful. And how would you describe the Boutal young woman? Who is she?
She's strong. She's confident. She believes in herself. She wants more from life. And she continuously evolves.
And if you talk more about the style of Boutal in general, what can we find in your collection? What kind of clothes? I know you have jackets. But do you have also other designs you like to make?
Yes. So the goal is to dress a lady on all moments of her day. So whether it will be someone who goes for groceries or someone who takes her kids out of school, someone who travels, it really should cover a lady's life in different stages of her life. So you will find everything. You will find tracksuits. You will find dresses. You will find gala dresses for big events. You can find everything that we are as a woman.
So you create the whole wardrobe a woman needs in her closet.
So to say, yes.
And, you know, I also want to talk about like the fabric and sourcing fabrics, because I know that sometimes it's really difficult to find high quality fabrics and fabrics that would also suit the image of your brand. So how do you find the fabrics for your collections?
It depends on what you have in mind. So if it's a specific print that I have in mind, I need to create it. So we start with sketches of the designs. For example, in a new collection, you will find dragonfly wings. The story behind it, I will reveal it very soon, so I cannot highlight too much. But for example, these dragonfly wings, it started with a dragonfly, an image of a dragonfly. And we transferred it to a digital file. Then after that, we had to come up with the kind of fabric that we wanted to use. So because a dragonfly is a very sophisticated but very funerable animal creature, I wanted to go for a fluid fabric to also highlight the femininity and the fluid and to resonate with fluid fabrics.
And you source your fabrics in which countries, like France, Italy?
So most of our fabrics are from Italy. I also work with some suppliers from London and from France.
So in general, it's a European fabrication.
Yes, at the moment it is. I'm willing to explore, of course, different options, but it's, as you said, it's really difficult to maintain the quality. So, and now that traveling is a little bit difficult, it's a bit difficult to understand the work of different suppliers around the world.
And also, I remember about a video I saw on your Instagram account, maybe it was a few months ago, where you showed the behind the scenes and we could see the craftsmanship behind the creation of the design. So where do you find these artisans you work with?
So I'm very blessed to have a team in Italy. This was also very hard to get to that team because you cannot find good people everywhere. But I think that if you set the right intention, you will attract what you need. So basically, I found these people in a magical way. They ended up working for me with passion and with love. And I think that is really truly reflected through the garments.
Yes, and also in the video, I was really amazed by the video because I was like, you are really doing an amazing work, you and your team.
Thank you so much. I'm truly thankful for my team and everyone who helped me so far.
So I would, either way, I will put the link of your brand in bio because I can't wait to see the project you're about to launch soon that you can't reveal yet. But we will, of course, follow it on your social media account. And now if we come to the next part of the podcast, which is more about your inspirations, the first question will be, who are the three designers or brand who like incarnate your vision of modesty in fashion?
To be honest, I don't prefer to look at others if I start with my designs. Of course, I'm inspired by others, but there is not one brand that I can really say that I truly want to resonate with. That's why I started my own brand. However, I really look up to the designs of Dior because I really believe that they have amazing pieces of couture. And of course, they are very, 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 very good in what they do. Mm. I also like the volumes of Roxanda and Valentino a lot in terms of modesty.
Yes, I agree with you. And you know, the video you did kind of reminded me of the videos of Dior did. So we really show the excellentness and the refinement of your designs. So that's interesting that you're saying Dior.
Thank you so much. I really, as I said, I really look up to that fashion house and to the story behind the brand.
And if we talk about artists, who do you have three artists who would like express your vision of modesty in art?
I love Frida Kahlo a lot. I don't know if you know her.
Yes, of course I know her.
I really, really love her. I love Vincent van Gogh a lot. He's also Dutch, and I think that his personal story is very, very intriguing.
And I don't know him. Could you tell us more about his personal story?
So he's amazing. He's a Dutch. He's a Dutch painter. And his work was never acknowledged when he was alive. So I think that's the most fascinating to me because he was an absolute genius. He was only painting things that he came across in his daily life. So one of his last paintings, for example, was something that were the roots of a tree, which was very interesting because nobody knew that it was his last painting up to, I think, I think it was revealed 2 months ago or 3 months ago. So it's really up to date. But what's interesting about that painting is that he wrote about his life in a letter to his brother, in which he wrote about his mental state and his physical health, and that he reflected it through that painting. So he said that he was, I cannot recall the exact words, but in his letter, he wrote something around that he was damaged up till the core of his roots. something like that. And it was really interesting to understand how a painter reflects his soul and his feelings and emotions into a painting. I think it really changed my perspective on art in general.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. I will share the video with you about this, about how they discovered this painting, because that's even more interesting.
Oh, really?
That's really magical. It was actually through postcards. So like in the small village where he used to paint, a Dutch expert found some postcards, and due the COVID crisis, he went through these postcards. And all of a sudden, he recognized a painting of Vincent van Gogh, which was really interesting. So when they compared these kind of elements on the painting and on the postcards, they identified the painting. And now that the trees that he actually painted, they were you cannot access them now anymore. But a few months ago, before the discovery of it, people were just passing by and they never knew that this was what Vincent van Gogh painted during his last days of life.
Wow, that's interesting. And when did he live?
Sorry?
When did he live? Like, did he die a long time ago? Or?
Sorry, I cannot hear you.
Oh, sorry. When did he live?
Where?
When did he die?
Oh, he died in, I think, 1890.
Okay, so it was
so quite a long time ago in France.
19th century, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's really inspiring. I look forward to see the video.
Yes, you will be very inspired by it because, you know, this gentleman, he died so long ago and his work was only acknowledged after his death because nobody during his lifetime acknowledged his work, his great work.
And it's sadly true, but I think that also a lot of artists also became like famous after they died.
Yeah, that's what they say. To be honest, I have to read into it more, but it's an interesting idea. But I think it has to do with the fact that people take things as normal when you're around them. This is also in our daily lives something that sometimes with your presence, you're not valued. But once you let go, people see your value, your true value.
Yes, we tend to take things for granted and recognize the value of it when we lose it.
Exactly.
And did you have in mind another artist?
Yes, another artist is Salvador Dali. I really am intrigued by his work because of his hanging clocks and his perception of time. I think that's really interesting how he tries to pause time in a way.
That's interesting. And if we talk more about like your creativity in general, how do you keep inspired and how do you feed your creativity? Maybe through books, magazines?
My creativity comes from every single thing that I experience. So every day I set the intention to find creativity that resonates with me. And it can be from everywhere. For example, one of my new projects that I'm also developing is inspired by a person that I came across during the check-in in Milan at Milan Malpensa Airport. He was wearing a certain pin on his jacket. And I was talking with him about scanning my boarding pass. And then I noticed the pin. So I asked him about this pin. And he told me that it was from an Asian civilization in Colombia. So after that, when I got home, I started Googling about that Asian civilization. And soon I will reveal more about what I did with that certain pin. I have to thank that gentleman. So my inspiration comes from everywhere and everyone. It's just everyone who sparks my soul.
And so you really pay attention to very small and tiny details.
I think they are the most important things. The things that normally pass by unseen, unnoticed. I think that's something where the magic is hidden.
Yes, in small things. I agree with you. And do you sometimes read books?
Yes, I do. Not too much at the moment, unfortunately. But I do have a favorite book if you're interested in that.
Yes, of course. That was my next question.
I could sense it. So my favorite book is The Alchemist from Paulo Coelho, a Brazilian author. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that book, but if you're
not, a lot of people recommend me about this book. I've never read it, but they say that the story is really incredible.
Yes, the story is truly incredible. And I think that this book finds you at the right moment in your life. So even though many people must have told you about it, maybe it wasn't the time for you to read it. But I think there will be a certain point where you will feel that you have to read it and it will make perfect sense to you. It will make perfect sense to you. That was what happened to me.
And what did this book bring you?
This book brought me so much. You know, I've been trying forever to even get in contact with Mr. Paulo Coelho, to personally thank him for everything he enlightened me with. So if he hears this podcast, let him please contact me.
Let's hope so. I try to send it to him.
Please do. No, it's really one of my favorite authors and it's my favorite book by all means, because he talks about a journey and about a journey that leads basically to yourself. And I find that really, really interesting, the way he writes with so much depth. I have never come across any other book that has touched me so deeply.
Mm-hmm, that's interesting. Now you make me want to read it, because maybe this was a sign that I need to read it also.
If you're talking about signs, then you definitely have to read it, because the book is all about signs. So let me inspire you a little bit more. The book is also about the universal language that connects all of us together and gives you signs in life to guide you, basically. If you're on the right path, if something doesn't feel good. So you should really, really, really read that book. It's an amazing, amazing book.
Oh, well, thank you very much for the recommendation. I'll definitely read it and let you know what I thought about.
Please do, because otherwise I'll email you and ask you about it.
So now I have to do it.
You have to do it. I'm going to push you. I like to push people.
Well, thank you so much. And you know, there was a question I forgot to ask you about art. Do you think fashion is a form of art? Like, do you think what you are doing with your brand is also art?
Certainly. I believe that everything that comes from a creation of a person is art. You know, we never have an understanding of what brings all the pieces together. For example, the dresses that you, for example, see. If I didn't tell you about my inspiration of the dragonfly, you would not be able to understand truly what I'm trying to tell you with that certain dress. So I hope to reflect the ideas behind this brand and behind my creations more through storytelling.
Mm. Yes. Well, that's really beautiful. And for the last positive world, what kind of evolutions would you like to see in the fashion industry?
What I would like to see fashion, I would like to see that fashion is not only anymore for fashionable people, but that other disciplines as well embrace it, so that they can connect to it. So even though it might seem strange for now, but I would really love to see more of the scientific world in the fashion industry. I think that would be very interesting.
And what concrete actions could we do to make this happen?
I think we have to I think we have to pay close attention to designers who are really aiming for that direction. And one of the designers that I really look up to as well is Iris van Herpen. She tends to do that. And I really, really admire her for having the courage to do that.
Hmm. Yes, her designs are really incredible.
Her designs are, I think, really exceptional. And out of this world, so to say. They're truly amazing. And I believe she's a true visionary.
Well, that's interesting. And now if we want to contact you or to follow you, where can we find you?
You can find me on my Instagram page, The Architect of Imagination, and through my through my corporate Instagram, which is Butalian. And you can always send me an email.
Okay, yes. So I'll put all the link in the description. And again, thank you very much for this conversation. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you so much, my dear. Thank you and bless you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye.